John chapter 12, verse 1. The title of this would be, I come to wreck your normal thing with my worship. I come to wreck with my worship. I just made that one up myself. Everybody there? John chapter 12, verse 1. Is everybody there? If you're not there, I'll give you time. I see pages still turning. John chapter 12, verse 1. It's one of my favorite messages in the Bible. But it's different. Y'all ready? Everybody ready? Let's get in the Word of God. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead. Which had been dead. Is that cool or what? Whom he raised from the dead. Who was dead. That means he's not dead anymore. Amen? He's not dead anymore. Well, I get excited because guess what? If he's not dead anymore, that means Jesus has power over death, hell, and the grave. That means Lazarus is sitting at a table having a meal because he's alive. And he's, dead people don't eat. Could you imagine how many eyeballs are on him and he's sitting there eating? Amen? Martha made a big deal. She said, hey, my brother's not dead anymore. Let's eat. Let's have fellowship. Let's get together and break bread with the bread of life. Amen? Well, let's get together and let's just say, man, God is good. Listen, Martha's worship was cooking. Martha's love worship was, let's prepare something for Jesus. Praise his name. I'm going to cook him some potatoes. Oh, bless his heart. He's getting my best lasagna now. Amen? She had a plan. Now, I'm serious. That's how some people worship God, by their service. That's how they worship. You can't tell it. They don't weep. They don't shout. They don't run. They don't do the thing you do. Hey, fix stuff. Aren't you glad there's some people in the house of God, when they want to worship, they fix stuff. There's a couple of men in this church, when they want to worship God, get a hammer. They go to driving nails. They start working steel and flaming buildings and saying, and you say, well, they ain't praising. They ain't testifying. Yes, they are. Amen? Ain't that cool? That's how God works. He don't make us all the same. And he's all right with it. I like people like that. I like people who are not like me. You should like people that are not like you. Martha had a plan. Let's eat. Let's fellowship. Let's show God how much we appreciate him for saving and raising my brother from the dead. Ain't that cool? And everybody's sitting there eating. But guess who else is there? Her sister, Mary. She says, I don't want to fix. I don't want to work. I don't want to serve. I want to worship. Amen? I come to worship. And guess what? We got a reason to worship because we understand who we're worshiping. See, y'all stay with me. Watch this. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped the feet with her hair. Woo! Martha had a plan. Martha was doing it one way. We've done it one way here before. Somebody else says, I'm wrecking that. Mary said, I don't want to eat. I ain't hungry. I don't want to dine. I'm all right. I'm full. Come. You know what I like about Mary? Is she's not a lost person. But she used to be. I'm not lost anymore. But I used to be. So every once in a while, I remember where I was and where I came from, and I like to worship God because of that. Her brother's not dead anymore. But he was. See, if anybody ever catches hold of this, see, sometimes you need to worship, not because of where you are, it's where you were. Amen? Mary's sitting there going, man, this food looks good, and the atmosphere is, oh, it's real. Oh, those food, that fish, that bread, that, oh, man, you can smell it in here. It's good. But Mary's like, I ain't hungry for that. What I'm hungry for is I'm hungry for to worship Jesus. I'm hungry to do what I do. So can I go back? Can I preach a little bit in reverse? Y'all remember John chapter 11? See, Mary, when she found out Jesus was coming after her brother had passed away, golly, I hope I get somewhere right here. She pouted. She sulked. Anybody ever pouted or sulked in here? Hey, man, I know some of you. Hey, man, you pout and you sulk, hey, man, when you don't get your way sometimes. I know yous. Hey, man, well, guess what? Guess what? Martha ran out to meet Jesus when he was on his way 4 days late. So it seemed. And she said, if you had been here. Never mind, I preached that from my home. If you'd only been here, right? But guess who didn't go out there? Mary didn't go. Mary said, Jesus is here. I ain't going out there. I ain't going out there because as soon as I get out there, you know what I'm going to do. I can't help myself. I'll just worship him. And I'm not worshiping him because he's not on time and he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Jesus didn't do exactly the way I wanted him to do what he does. So I'm not going out there because if I go out there, I might begin to worship him. I'm going to stay right here and suck. Amen? But now her brother's been raised from the dead. It was better. Hallelujah. It was better. It was better. No. Just because you're going through a down period, you're going through a down time, doesn't mean God's not doing a good thing. He might just be doing a better thing. Jesus is late. No, he ain't. He's just doing something better. Amen. Mary come in there and she's worshiping because of what Jesus did. When she wouldn't worship. Some of y'all need to write that down. That's good. That's gold right there. Amen? Aren't you glad God let you worship when before you showed yourself? Man, it's dead on a hammer in here this morning, Peyton. Can I preach to you? There's times, Peyton, I don't get it right. Amen? I mess it all up. You know what happens? I sulk, I pout, I'm not going to do it. I cross my arms and say, God, I ain't going to do that because of this and that and other. You know what God does? He shows out in my life anyway. And you know what I do? Then I come to God and I worship Him. And you know what I say a lot of times? God, thank you for being God, even when I jack it up, mess it up, and do it wrong. Amen? Thank you, Jesus, for raising people from the dead in my life, saving people, changing people, fixing people, doing stuff in my life, despite. You can worship good when you did something despite of you. Save your kids anyway. Amen? Save them anyway. Fix some stuff anyway. Heal you anyway. Change some stuff in your life anyway. And you was over here pounding. Oh, God, you're late. You don't know where you at, God. Why don't you know? Now Mary's like, you know what? I know y'all having a meal. But I'm going to wreck it with my worship. Sorry, Martha. You know what I like about Martha, though? Martha is humble and teachable. You don't believe it, but it's true. Martha is humble and teachable. See, there was a time, I think it's Luke chapter 12, that Martha had made a supper. It was before this. See, the resurrection will change you. No. When you understand what the resurrection is, it'll change you. When you understand that you are a part of the resurrection, you're saved, and you're going to heaven, and you're going to wear your blue high-heeled shoes in heaven, it changes some stuff. Amen? See, Martha had made a meal before, and she was trying to get stuff ready, and she was going to the kitchen, going to Jesus, going to the kitchen, going to the table, going to the Jesus, going to the table. And then all of a sudden, Martha comes in and does what she does. She begins to worship. Oh, Jesus. She don't serve. She don't fix nothing. She don't move the tablecloths. She don't ask Martha, can I get something? Some of you women need to say amen every once in a while. You know how you are. Some of y'all are fix-it women. Some of y'all are A-type personality, get it done. And you got those worshiper types. And you're always trying to get the worshiper types to do what you want them to do. And they're always doing what they want to do. Mary's sitting there worshiping Jesus. Ain't got a care in the world. And Martha says, Jesus. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha. Right? But just look. Now, John chapter 11, go a little forward. She learned. She was humble enough to take some criticism and change. Oh, my gosh. What would happen if we could take some criticism and change? What if somebody told you something just to change one thing? Would you do it, or would you get mad and bulk up, cry, and never come back? Guess what she did? Lazarus has been raised from the dead. She's serving. Mary's worshiping. And it's all good. Oh, never mind. That was a better point than y'all let on. That's good. Could you imagine just doing what God's called you to do, not worrying about what everybody else is doing? Wow. You serve, they worship. It'd be a great team. Man, Mary messes it all up. Mary's changing a supper into a worship service. I wish we could change our church service into a full-on worship service where we just turn everything over to God and let Him have it. Somebody said, well, that would be chaos. Write it down. That would be chaos. Well, I hate to tell you this, but God is not the God of chaos. He is the God of order. If God gets in it, it will completely be in order. See, God set the sun rise and the sun set. The moon revolves and does what it does and reflects. The tides come in and out. Praise God. He made the crickets, the grasshoppers, the elephants, the lions. Praise God. I think if we can let Him and be trusted with a service. Oh, we've got to have it in order. Yeah, we've got it in such order that we say, God, when would you like to show up at church and be a part with us? He would say, every single time, every single service, in amazing ways. I don't know if we got the time for that, Jesus. Sorry for being real with you. But Mary understands one thing. The problem is most people are not concerned with time. They're concerned with appearance. They're worried about, they're not worried about the order of the service. They're worried about what happens if Jesus gets a hold of them and what they will look like in public. See, what happened was Mary got ugly in her worship. She brought her alabaster box of ointment. One, it's costly. Write this down. It's costly. When you start giving your money and everything good to God, people think you're crazy. Amen. Oh, preacher brought up money. We might as well leave now. But see, when you start writing checks and giving all your good stuff to God, what you're saying is, God, I'm not showing out. I'm showing out that you put that in my life and I can give it back to you. Amen. See, Mary got up and says, you know what? I got something of worth in my life and I'm going to give it away. He's a friend of mine. And I didn't know how big of a friend he was until he raised my brother from the dead and reminded me that he's going to raise me from the dead. Listen, I like this alabaster box and all, and I'd like to keep it in my house, and I'd like to tell everybody how good it is and how expensive it is, but I'd rather give it to Jesus. So she goes down there first. It gets ugly because she gives away stuff. She gives away the best parts of your life, and you'll never regret it. But then she did something else. She was weeping. Her makeup was messed up. Lord help us if our makeup and our hair and our outfits get messed up. Tears are running down her face. She's not in control. Then all of a sudden she does something that you can't even imagine. She gets down on her hands and feet and lowers herself. That's the problem, most of you. You can't lower yourself. You can't humble yourself. You can't bend to God. So you'll stay stiff and you say, I won't bend. And God says, one day you will.
One day, if you do it today, it could be your choice.
My God.
But one day, it'll be my choice.
Whew.
She came in and began to worship. She took the hair. Listen, she took the hair of her head. I don't know about anybody in here. Listen, guys, especially some of you young guys. Amen. A woman's hair is her glory. Amen. Don't ever criticize a woman's hair. Period. How does it look? Here you go, men. Write this one down. Wonderful. Amen. If I could do you even more on this, I could help you even more right here. Any question like that? Wonderful. Beautiful. Amen. You'll stay married that way. But she took her glory. She took her glory and washed his feet with her glory. Amen? She said, here's what my glory is worth. It's worth taking my tears and washing your feet because your feet are more important than my glory. Period. Every time. I will give you my best and I will wash, I will do your least work. So when you really, truly worship God and you really, really serve God, to the outside world, it looks ugly. It looks weird. It looks confusing. It looks like you're wasting every good thing. But it's good to waste every good thing on the greatest thing. See, Jesus is the greatest thing. And she is the only person in the room who recognizes who He is. See, if we recognized who He is, we wouldn't sit here idly all the time going, oh, Jesus is pretty good. Or we got, there's people in here who've got big evidences of how great God is. And sometimes we just forget. Because if we start thinking about it too much, and we realize what He's done, then we'll begin to worship and we'll look like Mary. But watch. Watch this right here. I didn't read this last part on purpose. And the house, read it. Look at this. Look at this. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I thought it smelled like food. It did. Until the worship took over. See, there was a fellowship happening. There was something physical going on. There was something given going on. But then worship took over, and worship overtook, my God. Worship overtook the atmosphere of what they were doing. Even the most critical person in the room was like, man, that smells good. Man, praise smells good. Worship smells good. Man, this is good stuff. Man, did you hear what I just said? Listen, if you do worship right, even the service people will eventually go, you know what? I can praise even though I'm a service person. I bet Martha goes, I'm not mad because you could smell the odor of the worship over the odor of the food. I don't care that they can't smell the beans. I don't care if they can't smell the bread. I don't care if they can't smell the cheese. You know what I like? I like the smell of the worship. Man, it smells good in here because somebody loves Jesus. Man, Mary said, you know what? I don't care what everybody else thinks. I'm a part of the resurrection. My brother's here with me. He was dead. Some of you need to praise God because you're sitting here. You used to be dead. You were half dead and Jesus found you. Half dead. All the way alive in your life. Spiritually dead. And when Jesus found you, He came and looked upon you. And man, He looked like a stranger. Because He was. The priest couldn't help you. The Levite couldn't help you. Golly, preach. Ain't nobody can help you get to God except Jesus. Remember that guy, he went down and guess what? The thieves robbed him and took him and left him naked and half dead. That's where Jesus found me. Broken, robbed and half dead. Come down. Before that, the Levite came, looked at him, passed on. The priest, come. You know what? You know what? Well, you know what religion does? Religion comes and looks at you, but it can't fix you. You can't, if you can't do nothing for religion, it can't do nothing for you. Amen? The law comes by and checks on you, but if you can't keep it, you ain't no good to it. But when God comes by, I don't need you to do anything for me. I'm going to do it all for you. I don't see that you got anything. See, your wounds are pretty serious. But I got some salve for that. That's old school. I'm sorry. I got some healing for that. Because see, I'm the bomb. Woo! Not the bomb.com. I'm talking about I'm the bomb. The B-A-L-M from Gilead. Amen. I'll come and I'll get in the wounds and nobody else can heal. And I'll heal you up good. And I see that they've left you naked. I've only got righteousness to cover you with. But I can't get up and put it on me. Don't move. I can put it on you. Amen. I'm still preaching. Amen. Then he loads him up on his beast. He carries him. Have you ever had God carry you? Woo! Man, look like a dead man laying on that thing. Jesus is carrying the load, and everybody's like, hey, who's that dead guy? That's me! Brought him to the inn. Ain't that amazing? There wasn't no room for... There wasn't no room for Jesus in an inn. But Jesus brings us to an inn, and he says there's always room for broken, naked, dead people in my inn. It's going to get good, Arthur. Takes you up to a special room. Woo. Lays you down. Said, you're going to be all right. Remember when God said, you're going to be all right? Now, he found you on the road to Jericho. You was up there. Nobody was coming to get you when God come get you. Home. When God come again, hey, wasn't nobody else coming? Hey, couldn't nobody else come? Lays you down in that bed and said, look, this is a healing place. Just get well. Some of y'all are in a church that is a healing place. You can get well here. You can get fed here. You can get the healing you need here. Man, it's going to get so good. Then Jesus goes down to the front desk. Yes, God. What's it going to take for him to stay? So and so much money. That's all the sins you've committed. That's everything that was against you. Woo-hoo-hoo! Is that all you got? My gosh. Ken, ain't nobody else listening to me. Is that all you got? In case I don't make it back, put it all on my tab. And when I return, whoa, I'll redeem it all. It's paid in full. It's paid in full. Oh, golly. This ain't a shouting church. We don't do that. I'm sorry. That's good stuff. Amen. That's that shouting stuff. That's that stuff where you remind yourself that, hey, you know what? God paid it all. And guess what? When it comes back, if there's anything left over, he covered that too. He covered that too. Woo! Boy, he paid the price and said, if there's anything left over, put it on me. Put it on me. Boy, some of y'all need to roll it over and put it on Jesus. God, I've done this. I've done it. Put it on Jesus. He said, whatever ain't paid. Whew, never. Y'all like that? That's good, right? Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. Man, I wish they hadn't gave him a name. Amen? Simon's son, which should betray him. Why not? Why was this not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. I love this. Judah, there are going to be some people, when they see you worship, when they see you love God, they're going to be critical because they don't have a clue of what you're doing. See, Judas didn't have a clue, amen, of what she was doing. Because he didn't love God. He was giving God his attendance, but he wasn't giving him his heart. So he couldn't figure out what she was doing. No, y'all ain't got it yet. Does they not know that this is worth 300 pence? Do you not know this is worth a year's wage? Now, I'm glad it wasn't me there. I'm glad it wasn't me that was there, James. You know why? I would have turned around and I would have said, you don't know how much this cost me. This don't cost nothing to me. Everything I got is because he gave it. You don't know what it costs for me to be at his feet. You don't know what it costs for me to worship him. You don't know what it costs. Praise God. You couldn't even afford. We can't even begin to talk what he's done for me. Anything I give him is a tenth or less to him. But she is so good. She is so good. We can learn a lesson from her. This is the only reason I believe that she'll be preached until Jesus comes back. It's because she just does what she came to do, no matter who's talking. Sometimes we can give credence to position over a relationship. Oh, write it down. It's good. See, we could have looked. She could have looked up and said, oh, this is Judas speaking. He's one of God's people. He's got a position as an apostle, so I need to give him credence. I'm preaching better. Listen, I should check with him before I do what God wants me to do. See, there's a lot of people checking with other people before they do what they want to do or what they're supposed to do with God, and they don't do it because the person would say, oh, that's a waste. Don't do that for God. You can give him a lot less than that. Praise God, that's too much. Just settle down. Man, you've gone too far. I like the other one better. God wants me to do it. I really don't care what anybody else wants me to do. Amen? I kind of like that Mary Magdalene type worship where she runs into two angels in the graveyard. I'm serious. Two angels have been dispatched. And they're like, don't worry about it. She's like, hey, what have you done with the body? I didn't come to see you. No. I love angels and all. You're great. But I don't worship you. I'm not looking for an angel. I'm not looking for an apostle. I'm not looking for a disciple. I'm looking for the one who saved my soul. That's who I want to worship. I ain't worshiping the church. I ain't worshiping church people. I'm worshiping the one who changed my life. If we can't worship him, I ain't talking to you.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his name today. Glory. Hallelujah. He deserves it all. Thank you, Lord, for saving my own wretched soul. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his name today. Glory. Hallelujah.
Man, that makes sense. Hey, man, that just makes sense. You don't know how much it cost. We could have gave this to poor. He didn't even care about the poor. He is a thief in his heart. Sometimes you can't listen to some people. No matter how spiritual they seem. Do you know when Judas Iscariot got up from the dinner, from the Last Supper, when he got up and he left to go betray Christ, you know what the other apostles thought? That's what they said. Judas is leaving. He must be going to do something for the poor. He had them so fooled. Amen? He had them so fooled. But you know who he didn't have fooled? Jesus. You can fool a lot of people by what you say and what you do, but you can't fool Jesus about what's going on in your heart. Jesus leaned over to him. My gosh, I love this. Leaned over to him and says, what you do, do it quickly. What you're doing, go ahead. You know why? Because what you're doing, my God, that's a whole other message. Because what you're doing is what I want you to be doing. No. If he hadn't betrayed him, he wouldn't have went to the cross. I need to go to the cross. I want to go to the cross. Amen? That's the only reason I came, is to go to the cross. See, Jesus was a healer, but he didn't come to heal everybody. Jesus was good with money, but he didn't come to be your financial advisor or everybody else's either. Amen? He's good at it. If you let him have your finances, he'll do good with them. If you let him have your health, he'll do good with it. Jesus was the greatest preacher that ever lived. I was thinking about this the other day. Have you ever read the Sermon on the Mount? I guarantee you, I ain't going to say for 100% sure, but I guarantee you there ain't no other preacher sat down and preached all that in one sermon. There's preachers all over America today could only preach one or two verses of that and preach for an hour. Jesus sat down and preached the whole sermon at one time. He was good. But he didn't come to be the greatest preacher. You know what he came to do? Get put on an old rugged cross and die for your wretched sin. That's what he came to do. He wanted to be a Savior for everybody. He wanted to do all that other stuff, but guess what? He wanted to be a Savior for everybody. Check this out. Let's look at this. Look with me. It gets good. Verse 7. Y'all mind if I keep preaching for a little bit? Y'all got anything to do? Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." You know what Jesus did? Jesus came to the defense. Let Jesus defend you. Man, so many times we feel like we got to defend ourselves. No, let Jesus do it. It's so much better. She didn't say a word. She just kept worshiping. You keep worshiping, Jesus will do the fixing. That's good. Amen? Jesus is doing something. Listen, you need to write this down. He's got somebody doing something that he's needing 6 days from now. Never mind. Mark, that'll hit you somewhere down the road tomorrow. Jesus is going to be crucified. Amen? And be in the tomb in about 6 days. He needed somebody to prepare his body for the grave prior to. So all of a sudden, God's activated. Woo! He activated one of his friends. He said, "Hey, friend, it's going to look strange, sound strange, and be strange, but I need somebody because it's going to happen in such a way that ain't nobody's going to have time to take care of my body. So I want to let everybody know I'm prepared ahead of time." Mary said, "I don't know why I'm doing it." You ever done that? "I don't know why I'm doing this, but God wants me to do something crazy." I can see her right now. I can see her walking in there, you know, hot food being delivered. Everybody's thankful for the food. Everybody's rejoicing over Lazarus. And here she comes with her alabaster box, totally out of place, totally out of out of sorts. Just walking in there, everybody's like, "What's she about to do? She ain't got no food. She ain't doing that. Look, that's an alabaster. That's an alabaster box of ointment. That should be given to her husband on the marriage night. That's when you consummate that. You break that and seal the marriage. Man, that's what you do with that. What is she doing with that? And Jesus, is she going to marry Jesus? What's going on? I don't understand." All of a sudden, she gets down, breaks the alabaster box of ointment. All of a sudden, the smell starts taking over. She begins to worship. Jesus is sitting there going, "Man, somebody loves me." Now, some of y'all don't even understand what I just said. See, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, see, this ointment would get trapped in his hair and in his beard and in his clothes. And you know what? He would catch faint smells of it. Ever so often on the cross, when everybody... I'll go home. I don't care. I'll just keep preaching myself. Hey, she said, "Oh, nobody, everybody else has forsaken me. Everybody else has left me. Nobody loves me." Every once in a while, the wind would change. Somebody worshiped me. Oh, smell that fragrance. Mary took the time to love me. Amen? But also, when she broke that alabaster box of ointment, see, when it was in the alabaster box of ointment, it was good. And it was good for Mary. Amen? It was good for Mary. She could carry it. Said, "My mama gave me that. My daddy gave me that. Man, look at that alabaster box of ointment. It's awesome. Inside. Phew, never mind. Inside. Inside is some good stuff. It's amazing. But I can't break it open because it's not time. Amen? See, the good stuff was on the inside, and it was good for her and maybe a few people in her family. But once she broke it open, it was good for everybody. I can imagine Jesus bending down and saying, here just in a day or so, they're going to break me. While the outside is good.
Yes.
Oh, it's real good. The inside, it's going to save everybody. See, what they think they're doing on the cross and breaking me is really they're making me where I can go anywhere and everywhere to anybody. Whew, never. Verse 9, much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. They come down there to see Jesus. I hope you came down here to this church to see Jesus. You know who else I hope you see? I hope you see a bunch of us who've been raised from the dead. Because guess what? There's a bunch of people in here. We used to be dead people, and the only difference between us and you is we accepted what Jesus did. And guess what? Come and see what He's doing in our lives. I want to read this last part because every time I do this, I want y'all to get this because this is awesome. Verse 10. The resurrection will bring a warfare into your life if you understand it. Because if you understand that you're never going to die, you're going to be a hard Christian to handle. Look at verse 10 with me real quick. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Because Lazarus had been a part of the resurrection already, a lot of the Jews said, man, look at him. You can't argue with that. I believe what this Jesus is telling just because I'm looking. See, Jesus is already in heaven. We're a part of the resurrection. We used to be dead, now we're alive. The only message, the only Bible, the only thing they're going to see of Christ is us. And see, I love when I read this. He's the not Peter, not James, not Paul, not any of the disciples or apostles that they say, we need to kill this guy. They needed to kill the guy who was once dead is now alive. Because listen, y'all don't get this. I hope y'all get this before I close. Lazarus was sitting there eating his meal, and everybody said, hey, you got a worry in the world? Nope. Why not? I've already been to the other side. This is temporary. This is all good, but this is man, you know what kind of confidence you'll walk around with if you will start to understand that this is not the best side of eternity? You would be hard to handle. The devil, when he crawls up on your ear and says, you're going to die, you could whisper back at him and say, I already did. Amen? I did. God put to death my old man, and I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And guess what? I'm waiting. As soon as I take my last breath, I will open my eyes up in eternity, and I'm okay with that, devil. If I die today, guess what? It's going to prosper me. But if I get up today, my God, if I wake up tomorrow, it's your benefit. Some of y'all are going, I don't know if that's a benefit or not, brother. Well, I feel like I'm a benefit sometimes. Let's all stand up. As they come get a song, Miss Savannah.